Good morning. How are we this morning? Ready? Prepared? Settled in? Awesome. I'm just going to pray before I start sharing with you this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your Spirit is here in this place. Oh God, I thank you that we have the freedom to gather around your word and to explore what it means to know you, Lord God, and for you to love us. Heavenly Father, I just pray that your Spirit will be working in our hearts and our minds as we hear this message this morning, Lord God, and that you'll just speak so clearly to us what it is that you want to say. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Daniel has already shared that we are on a new series for April. And last week we heard an amazing testimony from Katan about how God the Father showed up so with such reality in his life, right? If you missed that message, make sure you head back to our YouTube page. If you are unsure, you can actually catch up on all of the messages from Sunday on YouTube. It is a great resource. Go back during the week, re-listen to what you learned on Sunday. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you afresh, clarify something that you're like, oh God, what were you saying? Use that resource. It's good. But our series this month is called Seal of Salvation. And it comes straight out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." And Daniel spoke to this verse a couple of weeks ago as part of our new creation series, focusing on the fact that by our salvation, we have been made new, but in our salvation, we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit was put down as a deposit for us, for our future, one day when the Lord takes us home. Amen? Paul talks in this verse about the promised Holy Spirit. And today I want to take us back to the moment of that promise. And we're going to sit in that for a little bit and explore what that promise was and what it means for us today. Cool? Cool. So like Naomi said, today is Palm Sunday, which means it is the start of Holy Week. How cool is that? All through this week, there are moments that we can spend remembering and celebrating what God has done for us. And this promise that Jesus made actually took place as part of this week. Jesus knew he was going to die, and he made this promise to the disciples, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we can read that story in John chapter 14. So if you want to turn there with me, this is where we're going to start and settle in because we're going on a journey. Goodness me. There we go. All right, and in verse 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." It then continues on in verse 26, where he says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Jesus promises to his disciples here someone who is not only going to counsel them and teach them just as he has, but he promises someone that will be with them forever. In chapter 16, verse 7, he continues to tell them, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." Imagine for a moment that you are Jesus' disciples. You've just spent 3 years walking, talking with this man, eating food with him, learning from him, watching him perform miracles. And he says, "I have to go so something better can come." What could be better than that experience. We know, right? We know the power of the Holy Spirit. But in that moment, his disciples would have struggled to comprehend, A, why is Jesus saying that it is good for him to leave? How could things get any better than this? And B, that their point of reference for the experience of God prior to Jesus was that God was distant from his people. Throughout the Old Testament, we see stories of God speaking and communicating his will to people, but at a distance. And these are the stories that the disciples would have known. These are the stories of the Torah. These are the stories of the scripture and the prophets. These are the stories that they would have known. And so then when they had Jesus come to them and walk and talk and be in communion and break bread and perform miracles right there in front of their eyes, they would be thinking, how could this get any better? What do you mean you have to go? If you leave Jesus, we go back to that distance again, right? That's the point of reference. Let's take a look at the history of God's voice through the Bible. Understand a little bit more about how he has moved through the scriptures. So we're going to head back to Genesis. Right at the beginning, we know that God created us for relationship. Amen? And in the garden, he walked with Adam and Eve. In chapter 3, in verse 8, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden." Now, in this moment, Adam and Eve were hiding from God, physically hiding from the physical manifestation of God who walked with them. It's like when my kid's in trouble and I'm like, "Oi, Gideon," and he like goes hiding in the playroom. I'm physically there. We're going to have a physical conversation. We're going to talk about stuff. We are face to face. That is an experience that was perfect. That moment in Eden, before the fall, before unhindered access to God. After this moment, at the end of chapter 3, the Lord banishes Adam and Eve from the garden. And that experience all but disappears. Adam and Eve had like a one to two ratio with God. And what we find over the course of scripture is that God's presence manifested in our lives, in the lives of his people, comes sporadically. He's still there. He's still is running things, leading people to his will, calling them to him, setting in place the pathway to the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But the intimacy with his people has been broken, right? We see in the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, over and over again, actually, through, at this point, he's Abram. Through Abram's life, it says, "The Lord said to Abram." The Lord appeared to Abraham over and over again through his life. In this particular chapter, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" God made a promise to Abraham and he was listening. And so then through his life, having heard the voice of God, he remained in tune to the voice of God. And we see over and over again, Genesis chapter 17, Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 22. It says again and again, "The Lord appeared to Abraham over and over." God speaks through Abraham's life. He guides his journey to this land and that land and through the events of all kinds of things. But the communication was sporadic. Abraham had to be actively listening for God's voice and responding in faith when that voice came. Another example of God speaking through the Old Testament is Moses. How did God speak to Moses? With a burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, he speaks to Moses. You'd have two books, Moses and Joshua. But anyway, he says, so now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. God, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses had been running from sin, from destiny, he was scared, right? He ran and hid in the desert and set himself up a life there, but God had a will and a purpose for his life. And God was going to make sure that he heard it. And so he used something miraculous, crazy even, a burning bush to communicate what he needed to communicate. Now, Moses, unlike Abraham, did not say, yes, Lord. He said, but God, I can't talk. I can't do this. I have no confidence. I can't possibly. But the bush that was on fire in front of him kept saying, I am God. Here is your solution. Ask your brother. I will make a way. Even in the midst of a miracle, listening to the voice of God, Moses doubted. So then we move on to an even crazier story. In Numbers chapter 22, God communicates via a talking donkey. Has anyone heard this story? Numbers 22, verse 28, it says, Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey and went with the princess of Moab. With the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road to a field. Balaam beat her to get back on the road. When the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her. When the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room left to turn either to the left or to the right, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam and he was angry and he beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered the donkey, you have made a fool of me, and if I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. Balaam had been given a task by God, but had chosen instead a desire for prize money and was on his way to deliver the Israelites basically to death. An angel of the Lord stood in his path ready to take him down. But his donkey was not blinded. Balaam was blinded to the angel, but his donkey was not. The Lord so wanted Balaam to complete the will that was set on his life that he caused a donkey to talk. God so badly wanted Balaam to do the thing that he had asked him to do that he made a donkey talk to give him one last chance to pay attention and turn around and go back. One more story. The story of Jonah. And we all know this one fairly well. I've recently introduced Gideon to the VeggieTales version of it. And the choir of angels in the belly of the whale is always a good song. Hazel claps in front of the TV. But anyway, Jonah hears from God directly. Jonah is one of the many prophets who God uses to speak to his people through the Old Testament, one at a time. It says in chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Jonah is a prophet. He knows the voice of God. God asked him to do something and he ran away. Jonah thought that jumping on a ship and sailing in the opposite direction would help, but we all know that that didn't work, right? God sent a storm to intervene. And when Jonah was thrown from the boat, God once again communicated quite clearly his will for Jonah. In verse 17, it says, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. The next chapter is entirely a prayer from Jonah to God in the belly of that fish. I think God communicated quite clearly that Jonah needed to stop and listen, right? Eventually, God asks the fish to release Jonah, and he does take God's instruction and go to Nineveh, and we all know how that turns out. A people saved. God wants so badly for us to listen to his will for our lives that he can and will do crazy things to intervene when we are not paying attention, right? And these are the stories that the disciples had. When Jesus is saying to them in that upper room after the Passover meal, he's talking to them and he's saying, all that we have experienced together is good. Everything that you know of God is good. But there is something better coming. They still weren't sure. What they didn't realize is what they were on the precipice of. A new access to the voice of God. Unlike the past, where God was distant from his people, the Holy Spirit would grant every believer the unique access to God's will and voice, transforming how God interacts with his people and allowing a whole new level of intimacy with him. Not just eating and drinking and watching him work, but being in partnership with his work, being led from within, not told from above. The Holy Spirit, like we read in Ephesians 1, is the seal that represents God's ownership, a security and a guarantee of our salvation. More than that, it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to do God's will. We are sinful beings. Our automatic reaction is to run away. It's the but I can't do that, God. Sorry. Not good enough. The Holy Spirit in us enables us to know God's will, hear his voice, experience him in a way that was previously unavailable, and gives us the gifts and the power that we need to complete the will of God for our lives. God used burning bushes and talking donkeys and giant fish to capture the attention of his people and redirect them to his will, because he couldn't communicate to them on a deep, deep level. How often do we limit what God is telling us to do because we have the expectation that it's going to come from a big booming voice from the sky, or a talking donkey, or a burning bush? God can't possibly be speaking to me because it isn't some crazy miraculous sign that's blowing my mind. I don't doubt that if God needed to, and I was so blatantly ignoring him, that he wouldn't make my dog talk and be like, "Oi, Kate, open your Bible." He has that power, right? He is the author, the creator, the almighty. He can do whatever he wants. But the death and resurrection of Jesus, the sending of the Holy Spirit, has changed the intimacy of relationship that we have with God. His access to our hearts has shifted. In Eden, God walked and talked in relationship with Adam and Eve. He created us to have a deep level of relationship like that. He doesn't need a song and a dance and a talking donkey, because that relationship that was destroyed at the moment of sin has been restored. We were separated from him, but our life with him has been restored and fulfilled in the promise of the Holy Spirit for us, right? Just as Jesus promised during that Passover meal with his disciples, in Acts chapter 2, we see it come to fruition. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. This is all of the believers. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All of the believers were gathered in one place. All of the believers received the Holy Spirit, poured out on the early church, marking the beginning of a new era. It's a line in the sand where our experience with God changed forever. That is the experience that we live in today. Not the era of one man at one time hearing the voice of God, seeing a burning bush, having a donkey talk to them to lead them in that direction. It is all believers at all times, filled with the Holy Spirit in us. The seal of the Holy Spirit is the mark of God's presence within us. The Holy Spirit is God. Yes? Living in us, guiding us in our everyday lives and decisions with as much as a whisper. Like I said, this is the new reality that we live in as Christians today. In Romans 8, 14 to 16, it says that the Holy Spirit now leads us as sons and daughters of God, and the Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit intercedes for us in prayer. Even when we don't know what we need, the Spirit prays on our behalf and helps us to discern God's will even when we don't know what to ask for. Jonah was told, clearly, go to Nineveh, and he still refused. We don't even know what we need, but the Holy Spirit is speaking on our behalf and discerning what we are to do next. Like we read before in John 14, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be the helper, that he would teach us all things and remind us of everything Jesus said. We are no longer distant from God. We have direct personal access to his voice. The Spirit guides, convicts, empowers, and communicates to us in a way that wasn't possible before the death and resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yet how often do we complain that we can't hear God? I just feel really far away from God at the moment. I can't hear his voice. I don't know what his will is. What job am I meant to take? What city am I meant to live in? What am I meant to do next with my life? God, I don't know your will. What do I do? Does anyone have that complaint? I know I have. Many, many times. But the thing is, it's not God that's not talking. It's me that's not listening. How much time have you spent studying his words or listening for his voice? When Jonah was driving, here's a story. When Jonah was driving, often I turn into his PA and I am tasked with replying to his text messages or his messenger messages. And every single time I have to change the way I write because I use punctuation and grammar and full sentences. So if I sent a message the way that I would send a message, it would be an immediate giveaway that it is not my husband sending the message. Which is fine, but like, I'm not saying these words. Jono is saying these words. So really, it should come from him and be believed that it comes from him and not confused that. Anyway, the way someone writes, the way they talk, is a dead giveaway that it's them who's speaking, right? We get these spam calls, going around. It's like, Mom, Dad, I've been kidnapped and you need to send money. And I'm like, that's not Gideon, he's three. He doesn't have a phone. Obviously, that's not him. We can immediately recognize who is speaking to us by the words that they say, the way they structure their sentences, the way that they think, right? In a similar way, the Holy Spirit was the inspiration behind each and every word in this Bible. These are the words of the Holy Spirit, the words of God. And while, yes, they've been translated over time, the value behind each and every word remains the same. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. So if you aren't confident that what you are hearing is the word of God, get confident listening or reading or knowing the way that he would talk. This is where we understand how he walks, talks, thinks, acts. As closely as the disciples, closer even than the disciples knew Jesus, they walked and talked and ate and knew how he thought. The Holy Spirit now lives in us and helps us discern what Jesus said and did. And so any question we have, we can just be like, "Oi God, is this right?" And he will clarify, he will discern. The scripture is the check mark that we can bring back anything we hear against to confirm if it is the word of God. If it sounds like, writes like, texts like the Holy Spirit. And then when it comes to listening, another fun story for you. My son is obsessed with monster trucks. He knows the name of every monster truck. Anytime I try and have a conversation with him, somehow he is still thinking about monster trucks. We will be talking about how his day was at school, and I'll be like, oh, you know, I saw that you were playing with this kid and this kid and this kid, and, you know, oh, you know, and you said this during floor time, during mat time, and he'll be like, yeah, but mum, did you know that Demo Derby can jump through a loop and go round and round and then crash into a snake pit? And I'll be like, mm-hmm, yeah, okay, cool. How often do we come to prayer time, but we're busy thinking about monster trucks? We ask God to have a conversation with us, to lean in with us, to talk to us about something, to communicate, or like we're like, oh my goodness, God, what do I do about this situation? Oh, but also what do I do about this? And I've got to do the shopping and I've got to do this and I've got to like, oh, the kids need a bath today because they haven't been bathed for like 3 days. And like, that's not true, by the way. That was, you were meant to laugh. We come to God pre-distracted and actually he can't get a word in. Because just like Gideon going, oh, monster truck, monster truck, monster truck, I'm trying to decipher names of monster trucks while I'm trying to help him unpack his day, we don't actually stop to listen. Getting into God's presence, dwelling there, living there, being quiet there is the way to hear God's voice. He's not unable to make a bush burn and talk to you. He is not unable to make a donkey talk to you. He is not unable to smash you over the head with some giant miracle or sign. But why would he when he has intimate relationship with you and the ability to just have a chat? Something about all of these stories that we read through the Word, through the Old Testament, was the willingness of each one of those people to listen and to do the will of God. A burning bush isn't an intimate moment. If I get too close to that, it will burn me. The whisper of God in my ear, in my soul, is an intimate moment. I can feel his voice. I can feel the fire of the Holy Spirit. I can feel his peace, his comfort, his whatever fruit of the Spirit or gift of the Spirit you need in that moment. You can feel it in you when you stop and listen. When I was probably 6 or 7, the details are fuzzy, but the experience has stuck with me to this day. When I was 6 or 7, there was something going on in my house at home, a chaotic moment. I can't even exactly remember what it was. But I just remember parents, chaos, whatever. And I so clearly remember the voice of God. All he said was my name. It wasn't booming. It wasn't loud. There wasn't like a flash of thunder or whatever, whatever. But I just remember my name and a peace and a comfort that fell over me and carried me from that moment through a whole bunch of stuff right to this day. I didn't have a horrendously terrible childhood or anything like that, but all through my growing up years, there was some basic level of chaos, illness, mental health issues, something going on in my family. And we were, you know, staying here and staying there and moving here and moving there and whatever, whatever, whatever. And as the oldest, I had a lot of responsibility. But I always had this sense of the presence of God in my life. All the way back to that moment when I heard his voice. It wasn't loud. It was like a deep whisper. And like I said, I can't remember exactly what else was going on around me, but that moment sticks with me. Very practically, hearing the voice of God, we doubt, right? Our natural inclination is to be like, oh, was that actually God? Oh, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the lie of the enemy. Maybe. Stick with it. Those quiet times, those moments where you actually give peace and space to the Spirit to talk. It's like a new relationship. You make a new friend, and the more you talk to that person, the fewer words they actually need to say to you before you recognize them. When you call them on the phone and they're just like, oh, hey, suddenly you recognize their voice, right? Stick with it. Keep talking. Keep listening until the point that when you go, hey, God, and he goes, hey, you're like, that's you. It is okay to ask for clarification. It's not doubting, it's checking our heart. It's like, and I think I've used this analogy before actually, when my kids start walking and they're like, take that first step and then they fall over and they're not sure what they're doing, I don't berate them for falling down. Oi, you're 9 months old, stand up, walk, what are you doing? Come on. No, I'm like, oh my goodness, you took a step. Amazing. Let's try again. Every single step that we take with God, every single time that we test, we go, hey, God, was this you? He'll be like, yeah, keep going. Take another step. Every single time we practice hearing and responding to the voice of God, he's going to encourage us. And the other practical tip I have on this is don't expect somebody else to hear from God on your behalf. Absolutely seek wise counsel. That's biblical, 100%. Seek wise counsel. But God sent the Holy Spirit for a personal relationship with you, not your PA, not your husband, not your wife, not your partner, not even your pastor. He wants a personal relationship with you. You can ask people to come alongside you and hear the Holy Spirit with you and intercede with you and for you, but you need to hear the word of God for yourself, the voice of God for yourself. We're nearly done. A couple of mornings ago, I was driving to the gym and I heard this Focus on the Family segment. And it was talking about this thing called the 60-60 experiment. Has anyone heard of this? So for 60 days, every 60 minutes, you set an alarm on your watch or your phone or whatever to remind you to stop and listen for the voice of God. Jesus promised that he was sending us the Spirit to always be with us and always lead us into truth, right? We read that in John 16. But how often do we wake up on a typical day and spend time going through what we've got to get done and making our plans and going ahead about getting them done rather than actually saying, hey, Lord, what would you like me to do? What am I doing in this moment? In this decision, in this conversation with my coworkers or my kids, when I'm struggling, how do I respond? Maybe you're really like strict and you've got your morning time with God. Good on ya. Good. I'm not saying that's bad. Good. Like honestly, sorry, that sounded really sarcastic. Good. Awesome. Continue with that. But what if we made moments to stop and ask throughout our day. Until it becomes a habit, until we no longer need the alarm, we just find ourselves going, oh my goodness, I'm facing a really tough decision. Hey God, what do I do? I am a type A personality, which means for me, checkers, trackers, lists, alarms, like 100%, they motivate me to get things done. But the success doesn't come from the checklist. Sense of achievement sometimes does, but it shouldn't. Doesn't come from the checklist. It's when you turn that thing into a habit that it changes your life. And I just thought that this, I was like, hey, the fact that I'm preparing a message on this and I'd happen to turn on the radio and I never listen to this radio station in the car because I always connect my Bluetooth, but I happen to, and this, God, is what you're saying? Maybe it's a nudge. We have been given an invitation to a new way of living where we hear God's voice in our day-to-day decisions, in our relationships, in our actions. We have even more access to God's guidance through the Holy Spirit than Moses, Abraham, Jonah, even the disciples when they were walking with Jesus. From the day of Pentecost onwards was a new church, a new relationship with God, a new moment, a new intimacy. But we need to be listening. So my challenge to you today is don't disregard the leading of the voice of God because it didn't come as a booming voice from the sky or a talking animal or a burning bush. The intimacy that you have with the Lord means that all he needs to do is whisper. The seal of salvation on our lives means that the Holy Spirit, the living God, is alive in us. So, learn what his words say. Listen to the tone and the sound of his voice and spend time to stop and listen to his will for your life. Maybe that 60-60 challenge is something that you want to try. Maybe it's a variation of that. This morning we're going to just take a moment to sit in really awkward silence for 1 minute. And listen. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us an intimacy with you that means that we can be so in tune with your voice. Lord God, I pray that in this moment you'll speak to each and every single person here. Lord God, if there is someone in this room who doesn't know you, Lord God, that doesn't have that seal of salvation in their lives, Lord God, please make yourself so evident to them right now. Heavenly Father, for the rest of us, give us a word. Open our hearts to what you have to say for us as we listen. Lord God, I thank you. Thank you for the words that you have given this morning, and I thank you that you continue to speak with us in our everyday moments, Lord God, in the big things and the small things. I thank you that you are our guide, you are our helper, you are our counselor, Lord God, that in everything we do, we can seek your guidance and draw closer to you. Amen. Amen. If you heard the voice of God for the very first time today, if you have questions about what he said or what where he's leading you, then like I said, seek wise counsel. We would love to pray with you and help you with that. And if you experience God maybe for the very, very first time today, then I would love to chat with you and help you understand a bit more about what that means. But for now, go and grab a coffee. Spend some time this week just listening for what God has to say. This is such an important week, amen, as Christians, to celebrate the death and resurrection of our Savior. And we'll see you on Good Friday.